First Timothy chapter 6. While you're turning there, just two quick announcements. One was already mentioned on the video there, that it's not too late to get involved, so you can join. You're more than welcome to come sit in the classes, check them out. Also, tonight, we're continuing our study. We'll be in Revelation verses 10 through 13. Dave Huell will be teaching that study. So I invite you out, 5 o'clock, to come on down and come back out again. And let's dig into the Word and look at the end of the book. We win. So, this morning we'll be in 1 Timothy chapter 6. There is a handout in your bulletin there, represent. Battling this week, that's why there's no title in the bulletin. I don't know. Sometimes I have the sermon, I just don't have the title. So, that's happens. But, we'll be looking at two specific verses today, just verses 1 and 2 in chapter 6. He's going to be talking about our actions as slaves, bond servants, or employees is another way we'll be looking at it also today. Before we jump into the passage, though, I want to encourage you to remove your preconceived ideas about slavery and the American pre-Civil War slavery, because that's not what we're talking about here. Yes, there was slaves that were mistreated in that time, but the mindset of slaves at that time, it was an economic system. It could be more closely related to indentured servants, but this is the terminology they use. It wasn't perfect, but it was workable. The economy itself ran by it. Most of the people became part of the families. He even talks about, you'll see in the Old Testament, there were slaves that actually, when they were released, didn't leave. They stayed. They stayed right there and lived with them. And it was different. They were provided a livelihood, food, income was also there. But just like there was evil guys back then, there's evil employers now. Some of you may work for some. It's they drive it, but this, the main issue that I want to look at today is, in America, is that we don't want to work. So ironically, these people were there because they needed this livelihood. In America, we want the livelihood, but we don't want to work for it. And most of us only go to work, as this dumb bumper sticker says, I owe, so off to work I go. That's it. I warned a few of you that I wasn't going to pick on this silly Powerball thing, because I do think it's silly. But most people talk about they would love to win something like that so they wouldn't have to go back to work. They want everything for nothing. They want you to give them everything for nothing, and they want to sit and do nothing. And we see all through Scripture, right from the very beginning, in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to work and keep it. And guess what, folks? That was before the fall. Before the fall, God put Adam in the garden to work and keep it. Okay, so God designed us to work. God designed us to do these things. God designs us to be actively living in this world. And whether there's a yoke on your neck or not, He expects you to be a living, walking testimony of His Son if you want to claim Him as your Savior. Okay? So those who can stand with me this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers. Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved. Father God, we thank You for Your Word. And God, I ask that You allow me to say the words that You once said this morning. Lord, may we each seek to become more fully developed followers of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. To forgive me, I have had a cold. I did a number on my throat. My wife thinks it's funny because I can't yell. But I guess it's good for the neighbors, right? I don't yell all the time. It's just a little different for me when I preach. I can't elevate it so much. But I want to read something by Martin Luther here. He said, "To call popes, bishops, priests, monks, and nuns, the religious class, but princes, lords, and artisans, and farm workers, the secular class, is a spies device. This is wrong. For all Christians whatsoever really and truly belong to the religious class, there is no difference among them except insofar as they do different work. Hence, we deduce that there is, at bottom, really no other difference between laymen, priests, princes, bishops, or, in Romanist terminology, between religious and secular, than that of office or occupation, and not that of Christian status. All have spiritual status, and all are truly priests, bishops, and popes. But Christians do not all follow the same occupation. A shoemaker, a smith, a farmer, each has his manual occupation and work. Yet at the same time, all are eligible to act as priests and bishops. Every one of them in his occupation or handicraft ought to be useful to his fellows and serve them in such a way that the various trades are all directed to the best advantage of the community and promote the well-being of body and soul, just as all the organs of the body serve each other." You know, here in our country, we seek to get to that point where we don't have to work. We're seeking those things, and at times we may want to do a job that has the least amount of work, and we're thinking in the wrong mindset of rather than taking advantage of the here and now, and making sure that whatever we do, in your job, in your home, breaking a lawn in your backyard, whatever you do, you make sure you represent Jesus Christ properly. So, first we're going to look at in verse 1 is under a yoke. First it says there that those who are under a yoke regard their own masters as worthy. Okay, to regard them, this here removes the idea of internal feelings. We need to have respect regardless of how we feel about them. They may be wrong in how they treat you. They may be not the kind of person you like, but we need to regard them worthy of respect. A correct assessment will allow us to see employers or masters is worthy of all honor. This honor does not include finances, but instead just a respect and a good job. 1 Peter 2:18 through 20 says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure it? But if you, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God." See, again, it's this idea that we forget that when we do what we're supposed to do in this earth, automatically we want the reward here and now. God says, this is not for yours to belong. You belong in heaven. You are an ambassador now. You are to represent. I take care of you when you come home. Right now, the sole purpose of you on that earth is to bring glory to who? To God. Not you. Not you. See, it's all about the name. It says that we're worthy of all honor. So the name of God. Lenski writes it this way: "If a Christian slave dishonored his master in any way by disobedience, by acting disrespectfully, by speaking shamefully of his master, the worst consequence would not be the beating he would receive by the curses he would cause his master to hurl at his miserable slaves, God, his religion, and the teaching he had embraced." So that is what this new religion teaches its converts. Instead of bringing honor to the true God and the gospel of his high and holy name, as every Christian should be anxious to do, this slave would only bring about the very opposite to the devil's delight. Folks, don't get me wrong and think that I think that we should just allow horrific things to happen on this earth. But I think is that we miss the mark of trying to make this heaven. I don't want this to be heaven. This is the closest thing I will ever be to hell. Understand that? This is, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, this is the closest you will ever be to hell. So if it looks horrific out here, that's fine and dandy, because this could be hell to me. And it is hell to me, knowing that there is thousands upon thousands, that there is still ends of the earth, with all the technology we have, with all the abilities we have, there's still people who have never heard Jesus Christ. Because we're so worried about our rights, and so worried about us, central here, than we are about out there. Amen. And I'm not saying that you need to pack your bags, I'm saying that you may just need to lead your neighbor. Because your neighbor is going to pack their bags, and they're going to reach the ends of the earth. I'm saying that maybe in your workplace it's frustrating and irritating about how we're treated or acted, people treat us, but we need to remember, make sure that we're representing the name of God properly. Because see, it's not just the name, it's also the teachings. The teachings. Titus 2, 9 and 10 says, bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, not showing of all good faith, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Folks, it's all about God. People should look at you in your workplace and say, what is it? What is it about you? Whatever comes down your way, you still are staying focused. What is it? Why do you work so hard for this guy? He doesn't care about you. What is different about you? And then right then and there is when you give credit and glory to God. You know, ironically, this is how I was brought up, and seeing this in the scriptures is how I worked and I lived. And you know what is odd about this, that isn't really odd, is that the employer, whether he likes you or not, usually promotes you and takes care of you. You know, I think of after Saddam Hussein was killed, there was a gentleman that came, and he came in the States, and he went around and shared testimony of times that he got to spend with him. And he stopped at Word of Life and did this one little thing that one night. And he shared that Saddam Hussein and most leaders in the Arab countries hire up to 80% of their employees are Christians. Because they can trust them not to steal, mistreat, or disrespect them. Is that the same in America? Because I hear the total opposite in America. I mean, that's the first thing you get. And I know, folks, listen, I know. But there's a lot of people out there that want to just hang their hat and say they're a bunch of hypocrites. I get that. But there is a lot of hypocrites. And we can't just hang the hat on and say that, well, we all are, so let's press on. No. We need to change something here, folks. You know, what is revival is that we brought up and talked about it before. It's when those who knew what they ought to be doing turn around and become back to life. It's not the unsaved turning to God. That's not revival. Revival is when the living come back to life. Those people are still dead. We talked about that in Sunday school. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're dead. Dead. It's when you accept Jesus Christ that you begin life. If you want this life, if you want this, you come to Christ. But then people turn around and say, but look it, I look in those doors and I don't see the life I want. They say there's nothing different between you and I. Oh, yes, there is. I have an internal belief. Well, that's not enough, folks. You look at the scriptures, Paul didn't say that was okay. Paul said, you know what? No matter what happens to us, we need to represent the Lord. We need to think about His name, not yours. Think about His name. Don't think about your life. Don't think about your precious little things here. Think about God and His glory. You know, this morning we had communion. Imagine if Jesus thought about His rights, huh? Praise God, He didn't. Praise God, we have a God that is not unlike any other quote-unquote gods out there. No other faith out there teaches about a God that is so willing to make things happen. He doesn't give you a list of things to do. He says, don't worry, I'll take care of it. I'll send my Son. And I have the full power to wipe this out and start over, but I'm going to still allow my Son to be sacrificed in this way. And even to have a Son that's willing to go through that all so you can have a home in heaven. And so that you can have the power to live it out right. You know, it's not just about, we read these stories, the Fox of the Martyrs, and Jesus Freak books, all these books, and we sit there and we read these things and think, wow, this is amazing what these people did for God. But you know what? They did those things for God because they could be able to go to your job and live it out. God's not going to trust you with the great things of Him if He knows that as soon as you step out, you're going to be the first one to denounce Him. If you want to be used of God, you've got to be trusted in the minor things. You've got to be trusted in that you're going to go to work and make sure that you live out that life in a proper way. So going on, it says in verse 2, believing masters. See, Colossians 4:1 does say, masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you have a master in heaven. Paul doesn't just say, you know, even the believing masters, I'm going to just leave them out. No, you should make sure that they remember they have a master in heaven too. First, why? Because these believing masters are your brothers. Don't disrespect or look down to them. Some may quote Galatians 3:28, says neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female, for all are one in Christ. And say, see, guy, buddy, you and I are at the same level. But see, that verse does not deny racial, social, or sexual distinctions. Because there is still a order of service within the church, correct? We've talked about that this week. There's still an order of service. There is pastor, there's deacons, and there's right here spelled out in Timothy. Yes, we are all, it's all level at the cross, I understand that, but there is still an order that's set up in the Word of God. And we need to follow those things. And God didn't give those lines and tell us these scriptures to make it those greater, those small. It works, folks. It works. Just like the father and the mother and the children. God designed it. The man was to be the head of the home. That's designed that way. It is that way. Why? It doesn't matter why, folks. Why can't we just trust our God? That He knows better. He knows what He's doing. We have full faith in Him. Rather than trying to change things and say, well, this has changed, that's changed, just trust in God. Yes, we do need to see more men man up. We need to see more fathers be true men of God. We look at Philippians chapter 2. I'll read it for you. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count it equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know, folks, we emphasize the gospel. We push the gospel. But we're supposed to be living the gospel. Our lives should represent it. People should see it. That because of our relationship with Christ, because of what we have within us, we are different. It says there that we are supposed to be believing masters or brothers, and we're supposed to treat them even better. Galatians 6, 9 and 10 says, let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are the household of faith. We should be even treating them even better. Lifting them up a little higher. Helping them out. Now, we can discuss and try to figure out what does this mean by that they will, this better will help them benefit, but we know, as a boss has good employees, what happens? The company does well. Now, I used to always remind that to guys. Guys get so mad about this and that, about the job. And I say, listen, guys, if he doesn't do well, neither will we. Oh, there will always be another guy that will open up a business. No, there won't. No, there won't. There's not always another guy. There's plenty of us out here willing to complain, peck, and pick. Now, I've been having conversations with some folks of our local churches around here. But I am in awe of the draw of pastors out of the state. And to get pastors in the state, they don't even find them in the state. They find them out of state and bring them in. I'm just totally in awe of it. There's the lack of leadership in this state. We've got plenty of people that want to tell people how to do things. We have a serious lack of people wanting to diligently do what they're supposed to do and do it well. I mean, if we can't do our normal job, our quote-unquote secular job well, how do you, I mean,
how are you going to handle this? I mean, walking the walk, the Christian life, is not easy. It's very hard. And too often we want to side on the side of grace and say, well, that's covered under blood, that's okay. Jesus, God said, seek perfection. He doesn't want a bunch of, you know, honestly, you look at the disciples, we study them, we look at them. Folks, they jumped in wholeheartedly. They left their families, they went with Him. And yes, as they reached out to churches, there was men and women that had to stay. And they stayed, but they did well. The churches, we read through that, right in through the Corinthians. Here's Timothy, Ephesus. You got all these churches, they had to get it together. They had to get serious about this. These things matter. Yes, we need to not just stick our heads in the sand and not look around. The politics, our nation, these things. But all I know is that there's some of the worst, most horrific things going on in countries like China, South Korea, and these other nations that are massacring the church. Yet it grows and grows and grows. And in here in America, it seems like Satan's just said, no, 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 leave them alone, because they'll just kill each other. The church is shrinking. The pews are empty. Churches are closing. I mean, I hear that all the time about when we did, when I was doing scaffolding, we went around to all these Catholic churches and they tried to figure out financially whether it was even worth turning lights on in there anymore. Because there's not enough people to even pay for the power bills. Buildings are all paid for. But is it worth to even turn the lights on in there? What are we doing, folks? What do people see? Well, the number one things we get is this constant bickering of that Christians just aren't doing it. Look over, I want you to flip over to Ephesians chapter 6. And look at another passage. This is not the only passage this talks about. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, verses 5 through 8. It says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart as you would Christ. Not by the way of eye service as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service for with a good will as to the Lord and not to a man, knowing that whatsoever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a bondservant or is free. Folks, I mean, that's, you work, you should do your job, you should do everything about you as you're doing it for the Lord. Yeah, I think of Charles, who said this to one day, he was there working on his house, and we talked about this at work, and, you know, he's there working on a chimney, but on his way down the ladder, he notices the ways over on the roof, there's a nail popping out the shingle. Roofer missed it. He's like, well, you know, you could do the easy thing, right? I didn't do the roof. They climb back up there. That's not my problem, not my deal. But then he remembered, if this was Jesus' house, he went up there and popped the nail back in. Now, honestly, folks, it seems silly. It does. But it's what the Word of God says. We should serve our employer in the way that as if He was Christ. I mean, it would change their total mindset. And people say, well, yeah, but, you know, Christ would provide more for me. Would He? Because the Word of God says He provide all that you need. All that you need. We don't know what that is in America. You know, I joke with my kids sometimes when they're hungry. I say, that's good. I want you to know what that feeling is, you know? I mean, honestly, we don't even have... We can just swing by a store. I mean, we can stop by anywhere. Anything we need to satisfy our desires, it's right there. And if we don't have it, don't worry about it. Just swipe. Deal with it later, right? It's the American way. I mean, there's that dumb commercial was out for a while. The guy's smiling. He's got a boat. He's got this new truck. I got this lawn tractor. I've got all this stuff. And he smiles. He goes, and I'm in debt up to my eyes. But that's the American way. And honestly, folks, if you're in debt up to your eyes, then you are a slave. Only in this country can you just file chapter whatever, chapter, and go on about your life and say, forget about all these guys and their problems, even though you are the problem. Honestly, you are a slave. Because can you, it's the idea. God wants you to be ready and willing to do whatever He calls you to do. Could you pack your bags right now and go to another country? Well, no, I have to take care of I'd have to pay this, I got to do that. I mean, honestly, folks, you're bonded to these things. So when we're out actively living, I mean, it says here that we need to make sure we represent Christ. Flip over to Colossians. Another passage that's going to deal with this. Colossians chapter 3, just a few pages over. Colossians 3, look at 22 through 25. It says, "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality." That was our memory verse this week, wasn't it? In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit, it goes right on through, do nothing with partiality. We're not supposed to separate these things. Your life should be an actively example of Jesus Christ, whether you're in this building or outside in the parking lot. No matter where you go, it is the mission field. It should be here and out there. It's not just representing Christ when you're sitting in the pew next to your other Christian friend. It's about representing Christ no matter where you go. You know, it's about doing all these things. Just a review for you. For us as employees, we should be, one, obedient. Two, we should serve completely. And don't misunderstand me. I know there's times your employer may ask you to do something that is not right. I ran into it. Guy told me, go to this job and tell them that your truck broke down. I said, not going to happen, Val. I'm not lying for you. And then, of course, the guy I worked with, the partner, said, "Well, you idiot. The guy's a preacher. I'll lie for you." There we go. We solved. There's always an idiot. There we go. Solved. You can't. Acts 5:29. What did Paul and John say? Pharisees, Peter and John. He says, "Listen, the guy said you got to shut up. We don't want you to preach in the gospel." They said, "You know what? Honestly, should we obey you or God? You need to make sure you work completely for your company, but you also need to make sure you obey God." Amen. Respectfully, we should be respectful. Listen, folks, I'm just as frustrated as most of you are about what this country's doing and what's going on. But we need to respect our authority. Respect them. Eagerly. Being serious about your job. You shouldn't be the one that's always late all the time. You shouldn't be the one that's always constantly has to be chased. You should be eager. Excellent. We should do our jobs well. Honestly, I mean, they should be. You should be the one that they want to hire, want to promote, want to push. Diligent. Humbly. Spiritually. I mean, this is all going to God, isn't it? This is our duty to make sure that folks look at us and they know that your life. I mean, the last thing we need is someone to come from your company, walk in here, and then they go up to me and say, "That guy goes to your church? Seriously? You should see him at work. Oh my good, I had no idea he went to church. Wow. You guys just want anybody in here, huh?" Lastly, an inheritance. You know, Paul even said it, I run to seek the prize. What you do with those prizes when you get to heaven, we can discuss that. That's a whole other topic. I mean, are you going to lay them at the feet of Jesus? We're going to do these things. But honestly, God even tells you He's going to reward you for doing these things. As if, like, heaven's not enough. As if He's going to give you heaven, these pearly gates, these golden streets. He's going to give you everything perfect, a new body, new life, new everything. And then He says, but if you do well, you serve well, you live it out well, you seek out and do as I say. And you know what? Even to top it off, I'll give you the power. I'll send the Holy Spirit to give you the power to make sure you do well. So you have no excuse not to do well. I'll even make sure that these guys write you a book. Just write it down so you have word for word everything I need you to do. And if you do all that, then I'll even give you rewards when you get here. I mean, it just seems silly that why? What are we doing? The problem is that our eyes are not here. Our eyes are around here. We look around and we come up with excuses. We're not teaching these things. Lastly, he says there in the last part of the verse 2, it says, teach and urge these things. Do you teach these things? Parents, are you teaching this to your kids? Are you teaching this to your children? Are they being brought up in a way to make sure that these things, that they live their life in a way, that they serve well in their school, that they serve well in the jobs they have, that they serve well when they help others? Are you representing well? Are they sitting there listening to you complain about how much you hate your job? I looked around and I found so many different percentages, so I said forget it, but it was close to almost 70% of America really just hates their job. That's silly. I mean, America, you got so many options. Figure it out. But most of it, ironically, is because of their lifestyle they chose to live, that they have to do these jobs because they want to live a different lifestyle. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whatever you eat, whatever you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. We need to remember that our social status has no eternal relevance. Understand that? Jesus left heaven to become what? A servant. Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He washed their feet so we would know that this is the God that we serve, the Savior we have, is not above anyone. He's not sitting. Is he above everyone? Yes, but he will not hold himself there because he wants souls to be in heaven. He doesn't care what happens here on earth. What matters is what happens in heaven. You may think that I'm a loser because I talked to this person. That's fine. Look at Jesus. He walked around, right? Zacchaeus is up in the tree. He goes, I'm going to your house. What the Pharisees say, look at this guy. Look who he's talking to. Why did he talk to them? Because he knew they would say yes. That's why he talked to them. He knew that those people knew that they needed a Savior. These Pharisees, they don't need that. They already got everything they need. 1 Corinthians 7:21 through 23 says, were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it, but if you gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who was called in the Lord as a bondservant is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who was free when was called is a bondservant of Christ. You are bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. Paul's saying there, listen guys, don't worry about the whole world. Don't worry about all these things. Focus on right where you are right now. If you're in a job and you got this position, you're right there. Do it and do it well. Things will work out in the end. Amen? You want to find out? Come to tonight's study. It's all. Read the last book. I mean, it all works out. Again, it comes back to that silly thing. Francis Chan loved that. We get this rope of eternity, and we get this little tiny couple inches in the end, and that's what you're stressed out about. I mean, when is the last time you sat there and pondered about the day you're going to be before Christ? When's the last time you sat there and looked back at your life and say, okay, is this the life? Because that's what you're giving to Jesus. When he gets up there, he's going to look at what you did with what he gave you. He's not expecting you to go out and reach and do these billions and billions of things because he knows you can't. He only expects you to do what you can. Understand that? I mean, he's not expecting you. Can you reach the ends of the earth right now? No. But could you maybe help financially reach a missionary that is on the end of the earth? Yes. Are we doing these things? Are we actively seeking these things? Do we want to be a true representative of Christ? Because that's what God wants. Too often we look around and we look at these churches, we see people, we even look here. I mean, folks, what are we doing? Are we in love with Jesus Christ? Are we in love with the book? Are we digging in the Word of God? Are we swimming through it? Are we just so into it? Now, I brought this up in Sunday school that We need to think about this. If God audibly talked to you, I guarantee you, you would listen. He does it every day in your shelf. Because I don't know about you, but I believe this is the Word of God. I believe these are God's words. I believe these are correct, right. Every single word in here is from God. Not from just some men that wrote it down. It's from God. This is God talking to me. He's audibly wrote it down for you so you can have it. Every moment, all over the earth, you can have it. And with salvation, He expects you to have an eternal mindset. He didn't save you just to give you insurance. Fire insurance. You have to be in Sunday school to know that little joke. Okay? It's not just insurance, folks. It's a life. He gave it. He gave you everything. Everything. The provision, the abilities, the Word. He gave it all. Right there for you. Honestly, I mean, in this world, we have to work for everything. You got to work for your job. You got to work for these things. Salvation, it's right here. He says, believe on my Son, Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And with that, you will turn from death to life. You will go from dead to living. You will be from night to day. Your life will change. Folks may come to you and say, but I don't see that. Well, then change something. Change something. Folks, I'm sick and tired. The preachers, the world, we're sick and tired of these hypocrites. You should be too, and you should be sick and tired of your own hypocrisy. Be wanting and willing to change whatever it is so that the people you can say, you know what? They may be, but listen, I'm not. Do you have that boldness? Paul did. He's saying, you know what? Follow me. I'm doing this. Follow me. When they say, listen, I don't know about the Word of God, then tell them, listen, read it with me, because this is where I am. Can you tell people that? Can you say, right now, I'm swimming through the book of John. Why don't you join me? Can you say, listen, this is the guy I follow too, this preacher. This is the church I'm in. Or would they show up in church and not find you here? How serious are we about our relationship with Jesus Christ? Are we representing? Do you represent well? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. God, I just... It amazes me, Lord, to even think that you were willing to provide the way despite our constant failings. Lord God, I ask you to help us, Lord. Help us to live a life that represents you well. Lord, help us to make sure that our Jerusalem, our little area that we are in, our job, our wherever we go, whether it's to the store, to our neighbor's house, to the family reunions, any of these things, God, may we represent you well. God, may you help us. God, I pray that we not have to learn to fear you through circumstances. God, may we learn to fear you and want to please you above all, above anyone on this earth. Just from reading the Word, from today seeing that we need to do this. It's not about our rights, God. We have put those aside. We put everything aside and said we want to serve you. Help us to decide whether we're going to be true followers of you or just spectators. Lord God, I ask that if anyone here cannot remember a time that they've called on the name of Jesus Christ and asked them to save them, Lord, that they'd make that happen before they walk out this door today. For there is no hope for those who don't have Jesus. God, help us to actively live out this life in a God-pleasing way. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the provisions, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. More than enough that we need. In Jesus' precious name, amen.